Thank you for downloading this sermon brought to you by the preaching ministry of Liberty Baptist Church of Las Vegas, Nevada, Dr. David Tice. For more sermons in both audio and video format, we encourage you to visit experienceliberty.com. Also, for a word of encouragement, insight, and biblical inspiration, follow Pastor David Tice's blog at davidtice.com. So without further ado, let's open our hearts to the Word of God.
I think it was about 20 years ago, I was out in my front yard and I was putting together a manger scene. I had Mary up and they had the image of the baby Jesus, and I was putting up Joseph, and I'm not sure if we had a couple of shepherds back then, but I was putting them up and getting them ready. As I was doing that, two young girls came walking up to my yard. One of them was about 8 years old and one of them was about 11 years old. I was down working and they said, "Mister, can we ask you a question?" And I said, "Yes, you can ask me a question." And they said, "What is that?" And I said, "Well, this is supposed to be Mary and Joseph." And "This is the story of Jesus." And they said, "Jesus who?" And I said, "Do you know anything about Jesus?" They said, "No." And I said, in fact, Heather was in my house at the time. I said, "Heather, come out here." And Heather, my daughter-in-law, and I sat and shared with them the story of the Lord Jesus Christ. Shared with them how that Jesus was God and that he came to this earth and he suffered and died and paid for our sins and that he was buried and 3 days later he rose from the dead. And I said, "You need to understand that Christmas is all about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ and the celebration of the birth of Christ." It was at that time I decided in my mind that every year I'm going to take time to show people what it means, what Christmas is all about, and what all the traditions of Christmas are all about. We look around ourselves at this time of the year, and we read all sorts of things and see all sorts of things that say Christmas. But what is Christmas all about? In Luke chapter 2, the Bible tells us this story. It says, "And it came to pass," in verse 1 of Luke chapter 2, "it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus," he would have been the king of the world at that time, "that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria." That's to identify the time. "And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David." So though they lived in Jerusalem, they had to take a trek to Bethlehem because that is where their family heritage was from. And they had to go back to where their family was so they could be taxed appropriately. So he packs up his wife. He packs up his wife and their belongings, and they head to Bethlehem to be taxed again in verse 5 with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger," that is a feeding trough, because I say that because when I was a kid, I grew up thinking a manger was a barn. It's amazing how we assume that people know what we're talking about, and yet we as Christians often have language that other people do not understand. We say things like hallelujah, and they say, "What does that mean?" And we say all sorts of things that the lost world doesn't understand, like putting up a manger scene and expecting people to know that Christmas is all about Jesus. By the way, those two young girls trusted Christ as their Savior that day. The Bible says, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, a feeding trough, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord, I always told my kids when I read this to them that that's the shortest angel of the Bible. Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And you shall find, and this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angels, a multitude of heavenly hosts. It's as though the angels of heaven couldn't restrain themselves. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Here we have the story of Christmas. This is where Christmas starts. This is where Christmas began. Let's talk about Christmas. Father, I pray that you would just help us to understand. Help me today to just go through some of the traditions of Christmas so that I can help your people, help their children and others who ask questions of what Christmas is all about and what these traditions that we celebrate are all about. I pray, Father, that your name would be uplifted. And Father, as we go through this season, as we go through this day and the next many days until the day that we celebrate your birth, God, we might be able to inform others of what all of these traditions are all about. And Father, I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. 'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care in hopes that Saint Nicholas soon would be there. What in the world does a big round man with a red outfit on and jingle bells have to do with this story in Luke, that the story of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ? How does all of this come together? Well, as I said, Christmas is all about Jesus Christ. We're going to examine Christmas and what it's all about. First of all, let's look at the word Christmas. The word Christmas comes from two words. It comes from, number one, the word Christ. Christ means the sent one. Jesus was the sent one. Jesus was promised back in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. In Isaiah 7, 14, the Bible says this, behold, a virgin will conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel. The Bible says in Isaiah about this same one that his name would be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Christ is the sent one. The one that was sent was actually God in human flesh. So when we use the word Christmas, we must always remember it starts with Christ, the sent one. The word mass means this. It means the coming forth or the celebration of the sent one. So what is Christmas? It is by definition, by the word itself, it is the celebration of the coming forth of the one sent by God, who is our Savior. Can you say amen to that? I love celebrating Christmas. Years ago, somebody said to me, I don't know whether we should celebrate Christmas. You know, it really was a pagan holiday. And I think, listen, if I have an opportunity to celebrate the birth of the sent one from God to save my soul, I'm going to celebrate. Say amen with that. And there's all sorts of ways that we celebrate. But Christmas means the coming forth or the celebration of the sent one from God. Now, you say, well, why should should we celebrate his birth? Why should we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ? Well, let me just tell you why. Number one, the Bible tells us that the angels celebrated his birth. The angels celebrated his birth. The Bible says in this reading, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Doesn't that sort of tell you that the angels were excited about his birth? They were excited. These ones who were messengers from God are excited about what was going to take place or what had taken place. The Savior, mankind has been in darkness for 4,000 years. They have been separated from God because of Adam's sin. And yet now God can be reconciled to man. Man can be reconciled to God because of this one who is born. And the angels are celebrating that birth. We should celebrate. Can you say amen to that? Not only did the angels celebrate, the shepherds celebrated. Look at this. The Bible says that it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Go to the next slide. And they came with haste. Somebody, my son-in-law says haste. That's the fastest angel in the Bible. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. The shepherds are so excited that they're going out telling everybody they can about the birth of Jesus Christ. Not only did they celebrate, but in Matthew, the Bible tells us that the wise men celebrated his birth. In Matthew chapter 2 and verses 1 and 2, it says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men. By the way, wise men still come to praise him. Say amen to that. The Bible says, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. This birth of this Savior was a birth that was celebrated by the angels, by the shepherds, by the wise men. And if wise men celebrated, then we should celebrate it as well. It's a wonderful time of the year because it's a time where God made it possible for man to be reconciled to him through the birth of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we've seen that Christmas means the coming forth or the celebration of the birth of Christ. We see that angels celebrated, that wise men celebrated, that the shepherds celebrated, and we should celebrate. But what about the traditions? And I always like to sit down with my kids and explain to them. And as we were doing things, as we were putting decorations on the tree, as we were doing things during the Christmas season, I would take time to explain where these different traditions came into being, how they came into being. So let's talk about some of the strange things that take place during the Christmas season. Now, I'm not talking about the strange people you meet in the mall. That's why I use Amazon. I actually like to, one time during the season, go out and watch all the crazy people going from place to place trying to get the neat little things that they're trying to get. And I can remember one time there was a store in town called Gemco. And I remember at that time the big thing was Cabbage Patch Dolls. How many of you remember Cabbage Patch Dolls? Okay, oh wow, Cabbage Patch Dolls. And I remember I had to get a Cabbage Patch Doll. That was my assignment that year. I had to get a Cabbage Patch Doll. I went outside of Gemco and I heard there was a sale, so I went there and it was like 7 o'clock in the morning and I thought, this would be easy. Go there. There's 8,000 ladies at the front door of Gemco. And I'm thinking, this is dangerous. This is not a safe place for one single man to be at trying to get into Gemco and get me a Cabbage Patch. And what's the chance I'm actually going to get one? But I knew I had to do it because my wife was at home waiting. And so you have to do these things. And so I risked my life and I got me a Cabbage Patch Doll. So there's crazy things that go on. But what about the traditions? What about the things that are just part of our thing? First of all, let's talk about Santa Claus. I had a lady say to me one time, she said, "I don't call him Santa Claus." And if this is your opinion, I don't want to offend you, but and she's a very dear lady to me, and she may be listening to this right now. And so, Aunt June, I don't mean to offend you, but she said, "I don't call him Santa Claus. I call him Satan Claus." Because I don't think that it's right to have Santa Claus. Well, let's talk about Santa Claus. This is what I told our children when they were growing up. And parents ask me this, and this is why I'm telling you. People say to me, "Why? What did you teach your children about Santa Claus?" Because I didn't want to lie to my children, so I told my children that Santa Claus, that we enjoy Santa Claus, that Santa Claus is like Mickey Mouse at Disneyland. Is Santa Claus real? I said, "But is Mickey Mouse real?" "Oh yeah, I've seen Mickey Mouse." "Okay," I said, we believe in Santa Claus like we believe in Mickey Mouse. We have fun with him, and he's a wonderful character that we have fun with. And we would teach him that. Now, let's talk about the origin of Santa Claus. Let's talk about where this whole thing of Santa Claus came from. In the 4th century, there was a literal man named Saint Nicholas. Now, Saint Nicholas was a bishop. Actually, he was the pastor in a town called Myra. Myra is in southern Turkey, and you can see a picture of it right down there. Saint Nicholas. Nicholas was the bishop. He grew up. He was an orphan child. He inherited the wealth of his parents. He was a Christian. He trusted Christ as his Savior. And throughout his life, he spent the wealth that he inherited taking care of children. Myra, by the way, if you'd like to see a picture of the real North Pole, you want to see where he actually lived, show us that picture. This is a picture of Myra. This is a picture of where St. Nicholas lived. So you might want to take a picture of that. That is the North Pole, the real North Pole. He was dubbed the patron saint of children because he cared about children. And he genuinely cared about them. He cared about their needs. What he did with the wealth that he inherited was when he saw a young child in need, he would do all he could to help that child. Now, his kindness and his reputation gave rise to all sorts of claims about him. And after his death, he was considered, again, the patron saint of children. The stories of Saint Nicholas dwindled for a while after the Reformation. Why? Because he was dubbed Saint Nicholas by the Catholic Church. The Reformation came along, and they said we don't want to honor a Catholic saint. And so the stories of his life began to dwindle. However, the Dutch wanted to continue his story, and so the Dutch spelling of his name was Saint Nicholas, which later became Saint Nicholas, which in Dutch was Sinterklaas. And so he became Sinterklaas. Well, the Anglican phrase of Sinterklaas is Santa Claus. And so when the Dutch reformers came to America, they came to America with the name Santa Claus, and Santa Claus actually goes back to Saint Nicholas. Now, somebody asked, what about the name Kris Kringle? Kris Kringle, when the Reformation took place, this is very interesting to me, when the Reformation took place, again, the German reformers, Martin Luther, didn't want to give credit to a Catholic saint for his kids getting presents. And so what he did was he said, no, it's not Saint Nicholas who brings presents on Christmas as we celebrate the birth of Christ. It's Kris Kringle. You say, what is Kris Kringle? The word Kris Kringle, this is German. Kris Kringle meant the Christ child in German. So when we're talking about Kris Kringle, we're talking about the Christ child. And then later, the two merged, and so Santa Claus became Kris Kringle, and that's how we get that tradition. But I want you to understand this. Without the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, there would have been no pastor named Nicholas who cared for children. If it wasn't for the birth of Jesus Christ, there would have been no compassion and no love. If it wasn't for the birth of Jesus Christ, there would have been no Christ child, and we would not even have Santa Claus if it wasn't for the birth of Jesus Christ. So even Santa Claus points back to Christmas being all about Jesus. Say amen to that. So we need to understand that, and I think it's really something wonderful to explain to children. You say, well, that's the first tradition. Second tradition, what about the Christmas tree? What about the Christmas tree? Now, I had a gentleman say to me years ago, in fact, when I was first pastoring, and I thought, man, maybe we should never have any Christmas trees around, because somebody said, look at what Jeremiah says. Well, let's look at what Jeremiah chapter 10 says. It says, hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. For the custom of the people are vain. These are empty customs. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of a workman with an axe. Oh no. Oh no. A tree. And what do they do with it? They deck it with silver. Oh no. And gold. And they fasten it with nails and with hammers that it may move not. Oh no, my Christmas tree. Not quite. They are upright as the palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good. If you go on to read the story, you find out that what he's talking about in this passage of Scripture is not a Christmas tree, but an idol. They take the tree, they strip it, once they take the tree and they strip it, they make an idol out of that tree that cannot speak, that cannot hear, that cannot even move because it's fastened to the ground, and then they worship that. And what God was telling us in this, or telling the children of Israel, was that they were not supposed to worship they were not supposed to fall down and worship idols. And that's the thing. This has nothing to do, this passage literally, historically, has nothing to do with Christmas trees. So where did the Christmas tree come from? Well, there are several different stories. The one that I prefer is the story of Martin Luther coming home from a Christmas celebration. He was coming through the forest in Germany, and as he was coming through, he saw the stars of heaven shining through the pine trees that he was traveling through. He went home and he chopped down a tree, took it inside, and showed to his wife how beautiful it was, and decorated it at that time with candles. That began the Christmas tree tradition for the German reformers. I believe that what I taught my kids about Christmas trees coming up was, number one, that they're evergreen. They're evergreen because that points to the everlasting life that we receive through Jesus Christ. Also, as growing up, I always thought the tree was there to remind us that Jesus, when Joseph and Mary went to Jerusalem or to Bethlehem, when they got there was no room for them inside. They had to take and allow their child to be born in a barn. The tree reminds us that he was born outside so that we could go inside to heaven. And then mostly, and I think this is so important, the tree reminds us that Jesus would go to a tree. That on that tree, he would suffer and he would die to pay the penalty of our sin. You see, the Bible tells us we are all sinners. And because we're sinners, none of us deserve to go to heaven. The Bible says because we're sinners, we all deserve to go to hell. But the Bible says that God loves us so much that he was willing to become a man. God the Father was willing to send God the Son so that he could, as a man, suffer and die the death for us on the cross. See, the Bible says the wages of your sin, the wages of my sin, are death, spiritual death, separation from God forever in a place called hell. Jesus loves us and doesn't want us to go to hell. So Jesus was born in a stable, lived for 33 years, and then went to a cross where he died as your substitute and my substitute. If somebody doesn't pay for our sin, we go to hell forever. Jesus died to pay the penalty of our sin in our place. He was buried to prove that he was dead, stayed in the grave 3 days and three nights, and 3 days later he rose from the dead, was seen by hundreds of eyewitnesses, and now he is in heaven, ruling and reigning. And all we have to do to get saved is we have to come to him and say, Jesus, I believe that you're alive. I believe that you suffered, you died, you paid for our sins, you were buried, you rose from the dead, and I want to ask you to be my Lord and Savior and my God. The Bible says it this way, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So we look at the tree and we remember the cross. We remember what Jesus did for us. Thirdly, the lights. I mean, there's lights everywhere. I love driving down the road and looking at Christmas lights that people have decorated their house with. The Christmas lights are all about Jesus Christ. Jesus said this about himself. He said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Bible tells us because we receive him that we are actually now the light of the world, that he shines his light through us. But the truth of the matter is when Jesus came, he came to bring light into darkness. A world that had no truth, a world that had no light, did not know what life was all about. He came into that dark world. He came into this dark world so that we might have his truth. Jesus is the light of the world. And so the lights would naturally be part of the celebration of Christmas. The candy cane. The candy cane. What's the candy cane all about? I think it's a very interesting story that there was a man in Indiana who wanted to do something at Christmas to remind kids about Jesus Christ. And so he made this candy cane. He made it in the form of a shepherd's staff. And the first candy canes that ever came out were totally and completely white to represent the purity of the one that was born in the manger on that day. But then later, he striped it with red stripes. And he did that because he wanted children to know that it was through the blood of Jesus Christ and his shed blood that we have eternal life. Jesus said this, he said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Teach your children, teach your grandchildren. The reason we have candy canes is it reminds us that Jesus is the good shepherd, that he is pure, but he shed his blood so that you and I could have eternal life. The Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Beyond that then, and this is the biggest thing of Christmas. I mean, if you just want to take away all of the spirituality, you want to understand, and you know what your kids think about. When you say to children, Christmas, what do they think about? Presents. That's exactly right. They are all about the presents. I am so glad I got my Christmas shopping done. And I just want you to know I feel for you that aren't done yet. And for those of you who will be out on Christmas Eve, may God bless you. I love the idea of giving presents. This is what I do on Thanksgiving now. I can do this because I'm a grandpa and I can do this. So I say to my grandkids, come here. It's Thanksgiving. They're all at my house on Thanksgiving. I say, what do you want for Christmas? What do you want for Christmas? I say to my older children, the in-laws particularly, for a couple of years after they're married into the family, they don't want to do it, but now they just say, okay, I got it. That's what I want. That's what I want. This is what I want. I say, here's the limit. The money limit is right here. So I just want you to know. And then they give me their list, and then I have all 30 of them. I have a list, Frank, of 30 things. It's an amazing thing. Anyway, so then my list, I write it all down, and then I wait. They go out shopping on Black Friday, and I get on my computer, and I start going through Amazon. I get it, getting the presents. What's the whole thing about the presents? I mean, what's the big deal? There's two things that I want you to understand about presents. First of all, we give presents on Christmas because God gave us the greatest gift that he could ever give us. Christmas is God the Father giving us his Son. This is God the Son, Jesus Christ, giving himself so that we can have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave. There is no greater way to celebrate Jesus Christ and his birth than to give presents. Because giving is what Christianity is all about. Christianity is centered around God giving his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You got the gift of his Son. You got the gift of eternal life. You got that through his birth. What better way to celebrate than by giving gifts one to another? Can I tell you something even greater than that? Or maybe not greater, but as profound as that. The Bible tells us this, that at the end times, they said, what's it going to be like? They were asking Jesus in Matthew chapter 25, what's it going to be like at the end of the world? And Jesus said, well, all the nations, all nationalities are going to be gathered together at the foot of Christ at that judgment day. And he's going to say to them at that time, come unto me, you blessed. And he's going to say these words to them. Go to the next verse. He's going to say, the Bible says, and the king shall answer and say unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of one of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. He says before this passage, he says, listen, I was hungry and you fed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was in prison and you visited me. And then the Bible says the faithful will look unto him and they'll say, when did we do that to you? And his response, Chuck, will be this. His response will be, when you did it unto the least of one of these, my brethren, you did it to me. The Bible tells us if I want to give something to Jesus, I can give something to Stan Mitchell and I'm giving it to Jesus. I can give it to Mark and I'm giving it to Jesus. Lady said to me one day, years ago, she said, I don't have much. She said, you know my situation. She said, my husband's left me. We don't have anything. I want to give something to Jesus. I would like to just make something and give something to Jesus. I said, well, I want you to be able to do that. She said, well, how do I do that? I said, you go home. She made a coffee crumb cake that was amazing. Just an amazing coffee crumb cake. I mean, it had the cinnamon just all through it, and it had crumbles on top of it, and I'd eaten it several times. And I at church, you know, get-togethers, people bring the stuff they make that's so good. And I said, you go home and you make that cake. And she said, okay, she made it. And then I said, okay. So my wife and I went over to see her, and she said, now what do I do? I said, give it to me. She gave me the cake. I said, now I received this as a gift to Jesus. And I said, the Bible says if you've given unto the least of one of these, your brethren, you've given it unto him. I'm taking this for Jesus. Now you say, is that right? I'm telling you, that might be silly, but it's true. You can bake a cake for Jesus and you can give it to me. When you give to somebody else, when you give to your brother, your sisters in Christ, you're representing Christ. You're giving to the Lord. So whenever we give a gift, if we're doing it for the cause of Christ, then we're doing it unto him. Listen, you represent the Father so well. You represent the Lord Jesus Christ when you give to your children sacrificially. You represent Christ. And so the presents, it's all about Jesus. It all represents Jesus Christ. It's our opportunity to give back to God. It's our opportunity to remind people that Jesus gave himself for us. Then what about the wreath? Reefs everywhere. I can remember for years, we had reefs that hung on the wall, and one on this side every year, right in the middle of the choir special, would fall down. I'm so glad we don't have reefs anymore. But what about the reef? What is that all about? The Bible says again in John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The reef reminds us of this, that it is a circle. And it is a circle, and a circle has no end. It just continues on and on and on. And the reason we hang that, we have two of them hanging on our front doors at our house. We have them hanging there to remind people that the people inside this home have received everlasting life from the one who came to give us everlasting life. That is a very simple explanation for your children about what they are all about. Now, there's another interesting tradition that we have. It's the stockings that are hung on the chimney with care in hope that St. Nicholas soon would be there. What is the stockings all about? Well, honestly, you can't find in Scripture a particular reason for the stockings, but here is the story of St. Nicholas. Let me just read it to you. It says, a kindly gentleman grew despondent over the death of his beloved wife. This is just one of the stories of St. Nicholas, and foolishly squandered his fortune. This left his three young daughters without dowries, and thus facing a life of spinsterhood. The generous St. Nicholas, hearing the girl's plight, set forth to help. Wishing to remain anonymous, he rode his white horse by the nobleman's house and threw three small pouches of gold coins down the chimney, where they were providentially captured by the stockings of the young women had hung by the fireplace to dry. That's where we get the tradition. You say, I don't believe that story. I don't either. But that's where you get the tradition of the stockings. And you wouldn't have that tradition if it wasn't for St. Nicholas, and you wouldn't have St. Nicholas if it wasn't for Christ. And so even the stockings point back to Jesus. Say amen to that. That's interesting. I never liked stockings growing up, and you know why I didn't like the stockings? I didn't like the stockings because you couldn't get much in those stockings. I wanted big presents, but we had stockings for all of our kids, and I would steal their candy from their stockings. What about the colored light bulbs? I mean, there's light bulbs everywhere. We got all sorts of things, and what do the colored light bulbs, we taught our children, and these are all traditions, and my point is this. You need to, for those who you influence, your children, your grandchildren, you need to point them back to the birth of Jesus Christ. We say things like this. Remember, he's the reason for the season. Let's help our children. Let's help those who are around us to understand that everything around us at this season points back to Jesus. We see the green bulbs that remind us of the eternality of Jesus Christ. We see the white bulbs, which remind us of his purity. We see the red bulbs up here that represent us of Christ, remind us of Christ's blood. We see the blue bulbs, which remind us of his royalty. And then we see the little gold bulbs, which remind us of the future home that we have, where the Bible says that we are actually going to walk on streets of gold. It's an amazing thing. What you can teach your children about the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ, by the traditions that are all around us. Also, there's the star. We have the star on the top of the tree. Oh, an angel may be at the top of the tree, but on ours is a star. Star reminds us of the star that led the wise men to Christ. The Bible tells us this in Matthew chapter 2. It says, and when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. We don't even know what that star is. Astronomers have done all they could to just go back, Christian, and find that. In fact, there is a documentary about that star. The star isn't as important as the place the star led the people, and that was to see the young child, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we remind our children that the stars remind us that they are from Christ. Now, I love this, too. When we talk about Christmas, we talk about even the colors of Christmas. The colors of Christmas are red and green traditionally. A few years ago, my daughter came home and she was about to get married. I think it was either Faith. It must have been Faith. She said, "Dad, you know the new Christmas colors are purple and black." I said, they are, huh? She said, yeah, because that's what I'm going to get married in. And she got married around the December time. And I said, no, that's not right. The Christmas colors, everybody knows the Christmas colors are red and green. And I used to think for a long time, why red and green? Why is that the dominant colors at Christmas? And here's why. When you in Revelation chapter 4, the Bible tells us after John the Apostle had seen all and had written letters to all the seven churches in Asia Minor, which is today modern Turkey, he'd written letters to them. God said, now this is what's going on in this time, but I want to show you what's going to take place hereafter. And the Bible says immediately he was called up to the throne room of God. And when he went into the throne room of God, he saw the throne of God and he saw the angels in the throne room of God. And this is what he says. The Bible says immediately, he said, I was in the spirit and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one that sat on the throne, and he that sat on the throne looked upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. Do you know what jasper and sardine, you know what color jasper and sardine stones are? That's not like the fish sardines. These are stones. They are blood red. Blood red. Jasper and sardine stones. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in the sight like unto an emerald. The throne room of God is filled with bright, beautiful red and green lights around his throne room. And so even the colors of Christmas remind us about the birth of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's a wonderful thing. Christmas is all about Jesus Christ. And we need to teach those around us that even the traditions of Christmas point to Jesus Christ. Now, the last question is this. Why December 25th? Why do we celebrate Christmas or the coming forth of Christ or the birth of Jesus on that day? Well, here's the facts. Nobody really knows the date of Christ's birth. And it really wasn't until the 4th century that any Christian writings referred to December 25th as the birth of Christ. So again, it's not till the 4th century, 300 AD, that we have any writings that say that Jesus was born on December 25th. Many believe that as Christianity spread throughout the Roman Empire, and people were saved, it was the desire of former pagans who believed in false gods, who worshipped and celebrated the birth of Odin, the sun god, the father of Thor, the Avenger. You remember? They used to actually worship him. They said that his birth was celebrated on December 25th. These people had gotten saved. Their lives had been changed. They knew Jesus Christ, and they didn't want to worship their false god anymore, so they just began to worship the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ on that day. I don't know if that's actually true or not. I just know that we don't know when Jesus was born. We don't know the date. Some have said, well, it's. In fact, I had somebody who had traveled to Israel during the month of December that said that even now that there are shepherds abiding in the field at this time of the year. So that would make logical sense that would be near the time of the birth of Christ. None of that really makes any matter. There needs to be a time where we celebrate his birth. Why? Because the angels celebrated it, because the shepherds celebrated it, because the wise men celebrated it, and it's the time that God became a man. It's worth celebrating. So December 25th is as good as any other day. Can you say amen to that? And so we celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that's why we do it on December 25th. The Bible says that we need to recognize him as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Christmas is all about Jesus Christ. And what is Jesus Christ all about? Jesus Christ is all about you going to heaven. The Bible says, again, we are all sinners. The Bible says none of us deserve to go to heaven. Listen to this. God loves you. He loves you so much that he left heaven, the glories of heaven, the praise of heaven, the riches of heaven, the adoration of heaven. He left that so he could become a baby in a manger, so he could live for 33 years on this earth, so he could be rejected by mankind and go to a cross and die. And why did he die? He died because somebody had to pay for your sin, and Jesus did that. He died on the cross to pay for your sin. He was buried. He rose from the dead so you could go to heaven. The only way you get to heaven, you don't get to heaven by being good, by going to church, by being baptized, by doing anything. You go to heaven by putting your faith and trust in what Jesus did for you. He died for you. He was buried and rose from the dead for you. Ask him to be your Savior today, and you can know you're going to heaven. And that's what Christmas is all about. Let's pray. Father, help us to take what we've heard. Help us to apply it to our lives. I pray, Father, that you'd help us to teach other people the truths about Christmas and the traditions of Christmas. And Father, help us to point during this season everybody we can to you so that people have the opportunity of knowing they're going to heaven by putting their faith in you. If there's somebody here today that's not saved, I pray that before they leave here today, they'll put their faith and trust in you. And I ask this in Jesus' name.
We hope that message was an encouragement to your heart. Now, for weekly updates and for information about Liberty Baptist Church, be sure to follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook at LBC of Las Vegas. Well, that's it for today. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, God bless.